And if you want to develop personally, sometimes you can't depend on outward stimuli. You can't depend on somebody else pushing you. The motivation has to be like the ant. It has to come from within.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of the Ten Commandments of Personal Development. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Ten Commandments of Personal Development.
We want to look in the book of Proverbs. Share a presentation that I made a couple of weeks ago at the National Conference for Biblical Counseling. And we want to talk about some information found in the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, we want to look at how can we personally develop, that God has called us to develop our personality, our character, our skills. And so I want to present 10 commandments, the 10 commandments for personal development for the Christian from the book of Proverbs. How can you continue to develop? 10 commandments for personal development. Some of us, we may say that, well, you know, I've got to a point in my life where, you know, I'm settling down and, you know, I don't know what other goals there are for me to achieve. I don't know what other heights there are for me to reach. But, you know, let me remind you of a couple people. Nelson Mandela was elected president of South Africa at the age of 76 years old. Mother Teresa received a Nobel Peace Prize at the age of 69. And let us look to the Bible. Let us look to the Bible, because we see that Caleb, that he was a part of taking over the promised land at the age of 85 years old. So that lets us know that we should always be developing. We should always be working to make ourselves what God wants us to be. So, you know, one of the things that I did was give a definition of personal development. What is personal development defined as for the child of God? And we see that personal development for the Christian is growth in character and Christ-likeness to become all and the best God intended for his child to be. Now, this is done through the power of Christ and with the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, now I was doing some research on personal development, and I ran across this bit of information that said that personal development is actually anti-biblical. And it went on to talk about how that we as Christians need to be working on our development in Christ, and that, you know, and I agree with that. I totally agree with that. And the article went on to point out how that, you know, the Bible tells us to think less of ourselves. And, you know, it talked about John the Baptist and said how that Christ must increase and I must decrease. And went through this whole thing about how that, you know, we should not be so much concerned about personal development, because the Bible encourages us to put less on self and less on self. But you know what? As I thought about that, I said, well, you know, that was some good points. And so that's why I want to put this message in the right perspective, and to say that when we look at personal development, that there are keys that I put in the definition. And one of the key things is to become Christ-like in our personal development. That should be something that we should be striving more and more to do, is to become Christ-like. And then we realize that it's done through the power of Christ and through the help of the Holy Spirit that we personally develop. Now, I don't know what it is that that God has laid on your heart to do. You know, it may be that he wants you to get some special kind of training. He may want you to go back to school. I know for years, people, and I've been here going on 26 years now, and ever since, even before I came to Bethany, people told me that you need to write some books. And I'll be honest with you, I never felt in my spirit the desire to write a book. I mean, I did a lot of research and I did a lot of studying, but I never personally felt in my spirit, you know, the desire to write a lot of books. And it wasn't until, you know, I became almost 60 years of age. And now I've got about 6 books out there. And so that lets me know that, you know, it doesn't make any difference what stage you are in life, that there are things that God is still calling you to do. And that as we look at developing our character and our personality, that we can become more than what we are right now. And when you think about our lives and how that, when you look back and you know, really from a Christian standpoint, you ought to be a little bit further along this year than you were last year. You know, if you're still at the same place, then we when we look at children and we don't see them developing correctly, you know, we know that there's some issues there. And when we look at the Bible, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says that though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. So we should be in a continued growth process. We should not allow ourselves to become stagnant and stalemated. You know, are there some things that God placed on your heart years ago and you haven't done them yet? You got to have that spirit of Caleb who said at 85 years old, he said that God promised me this land 40 years ago and I'm going to go up and take it. And so when we talk about this personal development in the book of Proverbs, because I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the studying the word and praying, I just want to say up front that is the foundation of what we need to do. That as we move ahead and develop, that we need to constantly and not take for granted that we are spending time in the word and time in prayer. That is essential. That is a foregone conclusion to everything else that I'm going to say this morning. Now, when we look at the Bible, if you go to that next slide, that we see Jesus and Paul in their personal development. Notice what it said about Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. It said, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Now, this was God. He was God. Now, how much more can God improve? Well, we know that God can't improve at all because he's God. He's infinite and perfect in everything. But yet and still, when Jesus became a man, we see that he subjected himself to the development of the human nature. And so he grew. And notice what it says there. Notice what it says. He grew in wisdom. Well, what does that mean? That means in the things that he knew and how to apply them. And not only that, but he grew in stature. He grew physically. And he increased as he went on in favor with God and man. What a powerful growth process. What a testimony to us all. And what about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. He said that, hey, yesterday's accomplishment are in the past. He said, I forget those things. You know, I'm excited. I was on vacation last week, so I haven't talked to Russell to get an update on some of the things of where we're at. But I'm excited about building this new building. I'm excited, and by the grace of God, next year at this time, I plan on, Lord willing, preaching from the pulpit in the new building. You know, I'll be standing up here in the pulpit over there. So we look forward to that. But let me say this, saints, that once we build a new building, we can't rest on that. You know, we got to keep moving. You know, there's got to be other dreams. There's got to be other goals. There's got to be other accomplishments that we are trying to achieve. That you just can't look back and, as I heard somebody say, rest on your rusty dusty. You can't do that. You know, you got to continue to move ahead. And so Paul said, forgetting those accomplishments, those goals, those negative things, those things that tore me down, the things that held me back, forgetting all those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That there's always something that we can be striving for every day that we wake up. As long as God has you here, that there is a purpose for your life. You know, look at the news yesterday. One of the greatest boxers of all time passed away, Muhammad Ali. And whether you agree with a lot of stuff that he represented and stood for, that he made an impact on not only the American culture, but he made an impact on the world. He made an impact on the way that people think about things. And even after he got Parkinson's disease and went through his life dealing with Parkinson's disease, he was still having influence and having an impact around the world. So in the midst of sickness, here was a man that was still impacting the lives of other people. And so we can still develop and we can still be used by God from the youngest of us to the seasoned of us. We can still go forth and do what God would have us to do. So what I did was went through the book of Proverbs, and as I went through the book of Proverbs, I found 10 things that are related to how we can develop personally. And so again, I'm going back and I'm saying that at the foundation of it all is Bible study and prayer and dependence upon Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying that from the beginning because I don't want us to get this idea of personal development being a fleshly and human thing. I want us to see it as a spiritual thing. And plus, it's in the Bible. These things that I'm going to tell you are in the Bible. So the first thing that we see when we think about personal development from the book of Proverbs is that we need to maintain three levels of relationship. Three levels of relationship. The first is that of a mentor. The second is that of a peer, and the third is that of a protege. Well, what do I mean by that? All of us, you know, if we're going to develop personally, that we need to be mentoring someone. We need to be pouring our lives into somebody else. That God has given us a wealth of information and experience. And you know, one of the things that is the greatest tragedy is that a lot of people die with their dreams still inside of them. You know, I want to as I can. I got so many books inside of me, and I want to get them out, and I don't want to die with a book inside of me. I don't want to take the book to the grave. I want to leave it here. And so no matter who you are, That you've had some experience, that you've gone through something, that you have something that you can share with someone else, and that you can pour into the life. Even if it's your grandkids, you know, you can pour into the lives of your grandkids. That we should all be pouring into somebody else just by nature of the fact that we've lived life and that we've gone through stuff. And we got something to tell. We got something that can help somebody else out. You know, that you didn't go through that experience for nothing. But you can mentor somebody. And the Bible says that a wise man will hear. That if you're talking about things that will help people, a wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Look what he said. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. That's what discipleship is. That's what mentoring is. It's for you to give and pour into somebody else and help them increase in their learning. You know, we have a discipleship class here. And my goal and my vision is to see everybody here go through that discipleship class. Because you know what I think? When Jesus left, he didn't say that you should be great administrators. He didn't say that you should be great musicians. He didn't say you should be great ushers. He said that you should be what? Disciples. And so all of us should be, at some level, discipling somebody. And then have a good peer in your life. Have somebody that you can bounce things off of. See, this is what personally developing means, that you have a peer, and as iron sharpens iron, that you have somebody that is holding you accountable, somebody that is able to hold you up in prayer when you're weak. You know, there's a group of pastors that I meet with on a regular basis, and we kind of have this accountability that we work out in. And so we see here that we need to have that iron sharpened iron. And then we need to have that protege, you know, that person. And you know, when I talk about a mentor, I mean that, you know, we ought to have a mentor. Let me go back and straighten that up. That we ought to have a mentor, somebody that's mentoring us, and somebody that's, you know, because a lot of stuff we don't know. And we need somebody to help us and teach us how to become better. And then we need to have that protege, that person that we are pouring into. So maintain three levels of relationship in your personal development. Number two, be like the ant. Be like the ant. And what is the ant? The ant is industrious. The ant is someone that can teach us a lesson. And the ant, you know what I find about the ant? Is that the ant takes away all excuses. That when you look at the ant, you have no excuse. If we were to go back and read Proverbs 6 through 8, I put the scriptures up there. We see, first of all, that ants are self-directed, that the Bible says they have no guide, and they know instinctively what they should do. And they don't need anyone that or a guide showing them what to do. You know, again, you need to have a mentor. You need to have somebody that's pouring into you, somebody that's helping you deal with the situations in your life. But after that mentor, you know, that the ant shows us that you don't need to have somebody telling you all the time what to do. Sometimes you know what to do, and it's just a matter of you doing it. The ant has no guide. You know, the ant has no manual that they read to see how to do things. The ant is self-accountable. Look at this. They have no overseer. There's nobody overseeing the ant with a whip, pa-chow, cracking the whip. You know, the ant has no overseer. They don't need anyone to hold them accountable for the tasks that they need to do. They innately hold themselves accountable. The next thing we see is that the ant is self-motivated. As we talk about personal development, you have to be self-motivated. Ants don't need a taskmaster to drive them. They see the task, and they motivate themselves to do it. I'm going to tell you what should motivate a whole lot of people. Hunger. That should motivate a lot of people to want to get out here and work. But see, and again, I'm not being critical and I'm not trying to be negative, but I think that we live in a society where people are given everything and people have this entitlement mentality that they don't feel the motivation because they're getting everything. They're being handed everything. And so there's no motivation. Thank God for people who will be motivated to reach out and accomplish their goals. I remember when I went to college, and I was the first one, as far as I know, in my whole family, on my mother or father's side, the first one to go to college. And I remember, man, I thought that college was this great obstacle. And I thought for sure, man, there's no way in the world that I'm going to be able to finish college. But then, you know, I came back home and, you know, saw things that, you know, I just had a good friend of mine, he had liver cancer. And you know what goes along a lot of times with liver cancer. He just passed away. Funeral's going to be this coming week. And so I just saw a lot of guys that I grew up with. And some of my close buddies that I grew up with are now dead. And some of them are dead for a couple years. And I just, you know, and I came back and was hanging out on the corner, you know, doing the same old. And I said, no, I can't do this. And there was a motivation for me to go back to college. There was a motivation for me to go and get an education. And so I didn't need anybody to drive me because that, you know, there was nobody pushing me. Again, you know, the people in my family had not been to college. So there was nobody pushing me, but something had to come from somewhere. There had to be that self-motivation. And if you want to develop personally, sometimes you can't depend on outward stimuli. You can't depend on somebody else pushing you. The motivation has to be like the ant. It has to come from within. And then we see here that the ant is self-disciplined. I'm going to talk more about discipline here in a second. But the ant is self-disciplined. Notice that long before the ant eats its food, when I don't need food, right? There's food all around me. Look at all this food that I have. But what does the ant do? The ant disciplines himself to start putting the food aside, to start making sure that it's laid up so that when the cold weather comes, that the ant is not running around at the last minute trying to gather things. But the ant is ready. This says a lot about preparation. That in order for you to accomplish the goals that God has set on your heart, that you have to prepare yourself to do it. That it's not, you're not going to accidentally tiptoe through the tulips, ain't it? You know, but you gotta prepare yourself. You gotta think ahead, and you have to prepare yourself. And then we see that the ant is self-assertive. They gather their food in the harvest. So even though the food is there, they've laid it aside, or sometimes, you know, they can sit back and say, well, you know what? It's going to be there. And the next thing they know, the food is rotten. But the ant is assertive. They assert themselves. They take first person responsibility and go out and gather their harvest, and they don't let their fruit go to waste. Learn a lesson from the ant, and just go back and study the ant. What did the Proverbs say? It says, go to the ant. Go look at the ant and learn the lesson from the ant. That's personal motivation. Hey, just what makes that little old ant think he can move that rubber tree plant? Hey, everybody knows that an ant can't move a rubber tree plant. But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So every time you're feeling low, think of letting go. Just remember that ant. Whoops, there it is. No. Whoops, there goes another rubber tree. Whoops, there goes another rubber tree. Whoops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Look at the ant. Learn a lesson from the ant. Number three is that you have to live a disciplined life. Live a disciplined life. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Undisciplined. Cannot discipline their anger. Let their anger just go without any restraints on it. Just go off and no control. And then look at, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in. A wise man has discipline. And so if we are going to develop, that we have to implement a certain amount of discipline in our lives. Discipline, that ability to do the things that you know you have to do. Watch this now. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Whether the weather is cold or whether the weather is hot. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, that discipline is what motivates you to keep on doing what you need to do. I like that quote up there. Discipline is the difference between good and bad. Discipline.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Ten Commandments of Personal Development. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, the Ten Commandments of Personal Development, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the Ten Commandments of Personal Development. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Ten Commandments of Personal Development, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.